Oh, Lord. Boy, that cleared it out in here a little bit, didn't it? We got a little breathing room. That was a lot of kids. We're going to be in real trouble if we don't do something. I don't know what we can do, but we're going to have to do something. Because we are running fast out of room.
Glory to God.
How many kids you got in there, Dan? Oh, he's going in the nursery. I'll bet you there's 20 or more in there. Little grippers. Praise the Lord. Well, I guess I've already done all my pre-message stuff, so we're just going to get right into it. How about that? Stand to your feet and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. You'll have to forgive me if I drink a lot of water this morning. I just my throat keeps feeling like it's trying to close up on me. We can't have that. You ever try and take a deep breath and it just closes off like that and you go,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's I'm having some of that. It's a good time. Are you ready? For by you, verse 30. Did I say that? 2 Samuel chapter 22, starting in verse 30. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust Him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? God is my strength and power, and He makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on high places. He teaches my hands to make war, so my arms can bend a bow of bronze. Father, I pray that You would anoint me today. God, Lord, in fact, I'm asking for a double portion of Your anointing today. God, that You would just fill me with Your Holy Spirit today to preach and to not just read a message, to not just to communicate some things that I've written down on paper, but God, would You by Your Holy Spirit speak through me today to Your people? And God, would Your anointing rest upon Your people that, Lord, they wouldn't just hear some ramblings of a preacher today, but Lord, that they would hear You today through this preacher. Cause me to decrease, Lord, and You increase in me. And again today, God, I pray for every preacher in this city that's declaring Your word. And I pray, God, that You would anoint that man, that you would speak through him, that, Lord, altar calls would be given, that lives could be changed and transformed by the power of Your Holy Spirit. And I thank You for it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, amen. And amen. God bless you. Turn to somebody, slap them, high five, and sit down. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Easy, Bubba. Thank You, Lord. So I was, as the Lord was laying this song on my heart, and I was rehearsing it over and over in my mind, and I was just praying and asking God, what do You want me to say? What can I do, Lord? What's the message here? And I mean, it's obviously that He wants to take us to high places. How many of you know that you can see better from up high? Amen. You can't see everything that you need to see when you're in the bottom of the valley. How many of you know, though, sometimes we got to go through the valley to get to the high places. Sometimes we got to go through those low places to get to the high places. But God will always bring us to the high places if we'll submit to Him. How many of you know sometimes it's hard climbing? Man, I had a place that I hunted when I was living in Utah, and I named all this stuff. I named all these places so I could, somebody could say, hey, where'd you go hunting? Well, I went hunting up in Big Timber. Well, where's that? Well, it's Big Timber. You know. Well, is that the only place you hunted? No, I also hunted up on Golden Eagle. Because the where Big Timber, there was some big pine timber up there. It was beautiful, beautiful timber. And Golden Eagle was a place where I saw a Golden Eagle flying over me while I was hunting. It was awesome. So that became Golden Eagle. But to get to those two particular places, it was work. It was loose gravel. You'd take two or three steps and you'd slide back 10 feet and you'd have to start all over again. And it was hard work to get to the high places. But buddy, when you got up there, I mean, you could see. The vistas were fantastic. It was awesome. Because when you get to the high places, not only are you closer to God, you're farther from the valley. Some of you are getting that right there. Because oftentimes there's not much good stuff going on in the valley, if you know what I'm talking about. And in the 23rd Psalm, which is not part of my message, but I'm just thinking that in the 23rd Psalm, see, I'd used the 23rd Psalm time after time after time. And I've read, you know, yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you'll fear no evil, for I'm with you, my rod and my staff, it comforts you. And I preached that and I thought it was great and it was good. And one day the light came on. Bam! You ever have a light come on moment? You ever have one of them moments when all of a sudden it's like, ta-da! That little minion does that, doesn't he? Ta-da! Paint me yellow and I could be a minion. I got the glasses. I'm sorry, I'm supposed to be reverent. I don't even know where I was going with that. Oh, yeah. I don't know what the Valley of the Shadow of Death has to do with minions either, but I am your pastor, so that should clear things up. Ta-da. Oh, yeah, I was having a ta-da moment. That's what it was. I knew it. See, the train, if you wait long enough, the train will come back through the station. Amen? I mean, that sucker will come back around. Ta-da! And I was thinking about that, and I was actually using that verse of Scripture, and the ta-da moment happened. And I realized that there's a word in there, but we just bounce right past it. I'll do the preaching. Okay? Sister? Don't make me come back there. It's through the valley. We don't just go into the valley of the shadow of death. The Bible says we go through the valley. So when you find yourself in a valley experience, understand this. It's temporary. Because if you'll keep fighting, if you'll keep going, if you'll keep taking steps, if I could go to the last line of my message right now, it would all clear up for you. But I can't. You got to wait for that. It's like dessert, man. But you don't just stay in the valley. If you'll keep putting one foot, this is the hint. If you'll just keep putting one foot in front of the other, you'll get through that valley. And you begin to climb. And you begin to realize and recognize, wow, all of a sudden I can, man, did you see that? I'm above the fog. Sometimes the fog can be in here. And getting up there begins to clear this out. People sometimes go to the high places of the mountains and the woods and they say, well, that's where I have my church. If that's not where church is. I had a hotel. I'm probably breaking your bubbles, so maybe some of you, I don't know, but that's not where, this is where church is. See, the Bible says we're not to forsake the fellowshipping together one with another. And all the more as we see the day approaching. Listen, if you can't see that the day of the Lord is approaching, you need new glasses. You need to make a few trips to the high places and begin to commune with God and allow Him to begin to speak into your heart. Anyway, I said all that to get to this. I don't know what was going on in your mind and in Teresa's mind as you begin to write that song. I don't know if God was giving you scripture. I don't know if you just ate bad pizza or what. I don't know what was happening that birthed this song. And I was sitting out in my chair all by myself, and I was out there and I was like, Lord, what would have prompted this? Where would I get scripture to back up this song? And the Lord began to take me in His Word. And He took me to this passage of Scripture in 2 Samuel chapter 22. Where it says this. It says, For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. Sounds like, I mean, my wife found the Bionic Woman on the Roku channel or something on the TV. That'll take you back to like the 70s or at least the early 80s. And you remember the $6 million man or the $1 million man or however much he is worth? Was he $6 million? Yeah, he was worth it. Yeah. You know, they can leap over walls. Take bars, prison bars, just open them up. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. For I can run against a troop, and by my God, I can leap over a wall. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. That verse alone ought to say something to you. The word of the Lord is proven. Can I tell you something? The word of the Lord is proving itself over and over and over and over every day, Ray, in your life, in your family, Dennis, in your life. It's the word of God is coming to pass. It's becoming true. Sometimes we don't like the truth of God's Word. Don't get quiet on me now. How many of you know sometimes the Word of God take you to the woodshed? It'll do it. The Word of God is proven. He is a shield to all who trust Him. Do you trust Him? If you trust Him according to His Word, which His Word has been proven, He is your shield. Amen, Pastor. Preach on, brother. Okay, I will. For who is God except the Lord, and who is a rock except our God? God is my strength and my power. Are you feeling weak? Draw close to God. Let Him take you to the high places, and you'll get in that place of strength and power. He'll make your way perfect. He makes my feet like the... Have you ever seen those videos and stuff on the YouTube thing where them goats are walking around on the face of a dam? Are you out of your mind? You seen them? It's nuts. Them cracks aren't that thick. And they're like, eep. Oh, there's one blade of grass. All that work for one blade of grass. Listen, I'm looking for a salad bar if I'm going to do that. It's high places. Them goats know something we don't know. This is what He's talking about. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and He sets me on high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend the bow of bronze. The picture here is of a courageous warrior that is letting nothing stand in the way of his victory. What are you letting stand in the way of your victory, church? God said you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Don't let nothing stop you. Don't let nothing stop you. God empowered David to face the enemies without fear. He faced a 9-foot-9-inch tall giant named Goliath, and he didn't even have any armor. He didn't even have a sword. He didn't even have a spear. He had 2 bootlaces and a patch of leather and some rocks. That's what he had. That's all he had. Except one thing. He had learned how to go to the high places. Amen. He had learned how to dwell in the presence of God. And he walked up to that giant. Chuck, can you stand up, you big old rascal, you? He's the biggest guy on the front row, except for maybe, I think he's taller than Dennis. And he walked up to that big guy. He'd be about like this. Or shorter. Maybe it's like this. Because remember what did Goliath say to David? What was the description of David? You're just a ruddy little kid. A ruddy little kid. And Goliath, nice Goliath, good guy, he said, "Listen, you ain't nothing but a dog." And David stood up. Go ahead. Give him a big hand. David stood up in the face of that giant. And he said this. He said, "You come at me with a spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord." Amen. Amen. I come to you in the name. David knew who was going to fight this battle. And David, "Will you let me do the preaching?" He's like my spiritual Rolodex. They just keep popping up. David took off running. He was so confident. You know where? Here's the picture. This just came to me. Where was David? Where was David? What? No, he wasn't in the valley. Where was the Philistines? They were on the side of the hill over here. And the children of Israel were on the side of a hill over here. And there was a brook running through the middle of it. Because it's in that brook. That brook, remember that brook? That's where David stopped and got 5 rocks. Why? Was he that bad of a shot? No, he only picked up 5 stones because it was only Goliath and his 4 brothers. And he knew that 5 was going to be enough. Why? Because he knew who he trusted. He knew who was going to fight the battle. Man, when he pulled that first little rock out, put it in that chunk of leather, and began to sling it like this, and turned that ballistic missile loose, and it smoked Goliath right between the eyes. And he dropped like a rock. Why? Because David went from the mountain where he had been, the high places where he'd been with God, and he ran into the valley of the shadow of a 9-foot-9-inch tall dude's casting a shadow. I just want you to know that. And he ran across that creek, stopped long enough to get him some rocks. And he went up the other side and he got in front of Goliath and he let him have it. And David, that wasn't enough for David. David took Goliath's own sword, pulled it out, and cut his head off. He killed him twice. He grabbed him by the hair of his head. And he packed him around. "Hey! Look what I did!" He really didn't say that. He didn't have to say that. Because they knew who he was. And not only did they know who he was, Ray, they knew what he stood for. And when their giant, when their hero got taken out, what did the rest of them do? They said, "Charge!" They said, bye. And they took off running. And David said, all of you, the rest of you guys, are the buzzards and the dogs are going to eat the rest of you guys. All of a sudden, the children of Israel are like, oh, yeah. They were encouraged. They were empowered because of one man's act. Because they saw what one man in the presence of God, who'd been to some high places, what God would do through him. Church, who's looking at you? Who are you to be an example for? Hey, I've been to the high places. I'm almost done with page one. Just want to encourage you. God empowered David to face his enemies without fear. They're running through the troop. He ran down that mountainside. He ran up the other side. He confronted his enemy and took him out. Listen, don't get caught up debating with your enemy. Let your enemy know who he is and who you stand for and then take him out.
Amen.
Don't debate with the enemy. Well, I'm a big guy. Yeah, well, the bigger you are, baby, the harder you fall. Church, God's way is perfect. Did this die? I'll try it again then. God's way is perfect. His way is perfect. Verse 31 talks about it. And he made David's way perfect in verse 33. And because David trusted in him, God shielded David in the battle because David relied completely and totally on the flawless word of God. See, David had learned from as a little shepherd boy. Do you know David always saw himself as just a lowly shepherd? That's really all he ever saw. Even when he was a king, he realized, I'm only the king because, you know, I was anointed by Saul and God called me and all this. But who I really am, I'm just a shepherd boy. I'm just a logger that God decided to put in the pulpit. That's all I am. I'm a sinner saved by grace that I'm somehow, some way, I'm learning how to hear from God and convey what I hear from God to God's people. Hopefully, God's people will receive it and grow in the graces and the mercies of God. Why? Because of the flawless word of God. David's body belonged to the Lord, and God used his arms and he used his feet and his hands to overcome the enemy. What is God wanting to use of you? Some of us, he's using your talents. Some of you, he's using your money. Some of you, he's using your gifting. Some of you, he's using your administrative skills. Some of you, he's using the way you worship. David was a gifted warrior. Before the battle, he's on the mountainside. And he's talking to the king, the commander of the army of Israel. And he's like, turn me loose. You know, in our day and age, it was put me in, coach.
Yeah.
I'm ready. Put me in, man. Put me in. And David was saying to the king, I can take this guy. I can do it. David's brothers are like, what are you even doing here? Read it. That's what it says, kind of. That's what he said. And where'd you leave them stinking sheep at, by the way? You just up here to spy on us or what? That's what it says. You can go read it. It won't sound exactly like that, but that's what it says. David says to the king, he said, listen, I tend my father's sheep. And he said, there was a time when a lion came in and tried to take one of dad's sheep's. Sheep, not sheep's. And he said, there was another time that a bear came and I killed both the lion and the bear. And we think that's great. Read the rest of the story. See his face? See all the fluff? I'm jealous of that. David said, I grabbed the bear by the face and I punched his lights out. Bam! Go read it. 1 Samuel 17 and following. Read it. That's what it says. I killed the lion and the bear. He grabbed a bear by the face and punched it out. That's my kind of guy. That's the guy I want on my team. He's the first one I'm picking. Well, no, he's second. I'm picking Jesus first. He was a gifted warrior. It was the anointing power of the Lord that enabled him to succeed on the battlefield. And like a fleet-footed deer, he could reach the heights. Even his ankles didn't turn. And God made David's arm strong enough to bend the bow of bronze and shoot arrows with great power. In the strength of the Lord, David was invincible. Can I tell you this morning? In the strength of the Lord, church, every one of you are invincible.
Amen.
I got about 10 of you. See, that's the problem. That's the problem. I'm not up here to make you laugh, although you do. I'm here to challenge you. Can you understand? In the presence and the strength of the Lord, David was invincible. And church, you and I can be invincible if we will just draw close to God. If we'll let God get us to the high places, we'll become invincible. God enlarged David's path and he put him into a larger place. The remarkable statement, "Thy gentleness has made me great," reveals David's utter amazement that Almighty God would condescend to pay attention to him.
Amen.
That word condescend bothers me. Because what do we think about when you think about the word condescend? You make a condescending remark. And so it bothered me, and so I looked it up. You know what I found out? It's to do something regarded as unimportant or demeaning in order to impress or appear generous towards others. Can I tell you something? God showed up in your life and my life to show himself generous to you and I. He didn't have to give you and I his Holy Spirit, but he did. He didn't have to save you and I, but he did. He don't have to bless you and I, but he does. Why? Because he's condescended. He's come down, church, to our level.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Preach it. He came down to my level when I couldn't get up to his. David always saw himself as just an ordinary Jewish shepherd. No special position in Israel, but the Lord stooped down to make David great. God wants to stoop down and get in the middle of your life.
Hallelujah.
God wants to stoop down and get in the middle of your life. Listen, sometimes we're too busy to love. God, I know you're there. I know you want to do this and that, but I got stuff to do.
Three of us got that.
He made David a great warrior and he gave him a great name, and David acknowledged this incredible mercy from God. But David's greatest desire was really to make the name of Jehovah God great before all the nations, and the gracious condescension of the Lord is the theme that is so often neglected by the people of God. We have to realize that the God of heaven left the glory of heaven and came down and brought the glory of heaven down here and dwelt among us. Isn't that amazing? We have got to realize that as with David, God the Father's condescending work in our lives was to fit us for the work of His choosing. He's got a job for you to do, church. He's got a job. These chairs didn't just get rearranged by accident. There wasn't no big bang happened down here, and this is what the result was. God has a purpose, and He has a plan for your life. Some of us aren't walking in the blessings of God because we haven't submitted to the plan that God has for us. We get to think in our ways. We go places that God never called us to go. We do things God never called us to do. And we wonder why I'm not walking in the blessings of God. We've got to begin to do what God said in His Word. Period. As with David, God the Father condescends to work in our lives. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus says the High and Lofty One who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place with Him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So God the Son certainly humbled Himself, church, when He came to earth as the servant and as a sacrifice for your sin and mine. The Holy Spirit condescended to come to earth and live in the hearts of you and I, in our bodies, in our. How many of you know your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? David didn't look back, church, on the difficult years of exile that he had. And he didn't look back and see the hardness of God. What he saw was the gentleness of God. He saw the covering of God. He saw the protection of God. He saw the anointing of God in his life. That's what David saw. When you look back, do you just focus on all the bad stuff? Or do you focus on what God has done through the bad stuff? David saw goodness and mercy had been following him, according to Psalms 23 and verse 6. The other passage that I thought of was Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Because of the verse of the song says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be... In fact, I wore it on my necktie today. It says right on there. Even the strongest people get tired at times. Even the strongest people get tired at times. But God's power and God's strength never diminishes. His strength never gets less. He never. You can go to God anytime you want, Sandy, and He's never going to say, I need a nap. Can you give me 5 minutes? He'll never say that. Why? Because it's not who He is. God's power and strength never diminish. He is never too tired. He is never too busy to help you and to listen to you. His strength is our source of strength. When you are weak, He's made strong. That's what He said. When you feel all of life is crushing you and you cannot go another step, remember that you can call upon God to renew your strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Are we calling upon God? We might cringe as we read David's descriptions of his victories, but we need to remember that he was fighting the battles for the Lord. He was fighting battles of the Lord. Listen. If these nations had defeated and destroyed Israel, what would happen to God's great plan of salvation? We wouldn't have a Bible. We wouldn't have a Savior. In rebelling against the Lord and worshiping idols, the pagan nations had sinned against a flood of light, so they were without excuse. One of these days, the excuses are going to stop. One of these days, you're not going to have an excuse to fall back on. Well, God, I this and that, something. You fill in the blanks. I'm not even going to say nothing. You fill in the blanks. I have to make changes in my life every day. Every day I've got to check myself. I got to stay close to God. Why? Because if I don't, I'm prone to wander. You know how I know that? Because God said I was a sheep. And if you know anything about sheep, you know that sheep wander. Where's RJ at? Oh, he's upstairs. He's been tending sheep the last couple of weeks. That's the Lord has been patient. He's been patient with them. He's been patient with us. And so many times we snub His grace. We can never obey God in our own strength. How many of you know that's true? You cannot obey God in your own strength. But you can always trust Him to provide the strength that you need. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do we believe that? Do we live our life according? There's nothing I can't do. If God's with me, who can be against me? If we trust ourselves, we'll faint and fall out. But if we wait on the Lord by faith, we will receive strength for the journey. Here's an interesting tidbit. The word wait, it does not suggest that we just sit around and do nothing. Well, bless God, I'm just going to hold the fort till Jesus comes. That don't work. That does not work. Waiting does not suggest that we just sit around and do nothing. This word wait means to hope, to look to God for all that we need. It involves meditating on His character and on His promises and praying and seeking to glorify Him. The word renew, it means to exchange. To exchange. As taking off old clothing and putting on new clothing. We exchange our weakness for His power. And as we wait before Him, God enables us to soar when there's a crisis. To run when the challenges are many. And to walk faithfully in the day-by-day demands of life. Church, it's much harder to walk in the ordinary pressures of life than to fly like an eagle in a time of crisis. The father of modern missions is a guy by the name of William Carey. And William Carey coined this phrase. And this is what he said. And this is what I was referring to earlier. William Carey said, I can plod. I can plod. You know what it means to plod? Just plodding along. You ever been waiting on somebody that plods? You're like, dear Jesus, man. He said, that is my only genius. I can persevere in any definite pursuit. To this, I owe everything. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. The greatest heroes of faith are not always those who seem to be soaring. Often it is those who are patiently plodding. One step before, after the next. One step at a time. As we wait on the Lord, He enables us to not only to fly higher and to run faster, but also to walk longer. John, come on. Blessed are the plodders, for they eventually arrive at the destination. Plodding isn't very glamorous. Plodding doesn't seem like you're getting very far. But after a day of plodding, you can turn around and say, I've come a piece. I've come a fair piece. And as we begin to plod in the things of the Lord, in what He wants us to do, God is going to begin to expedite the plodding process. Amen. I remember I went to the doctor last year and I was fat. And I asked the doctor, I said, my wife wasn't with me, so I knew I wouldn't be in trouble. I said, you got something that I can take to make me skinnier? I mean, I don't want to be skinny. I just don't want to be fat. I don't think it's healthy. God says this is our temple. And we're to take care of it. And I said, man, you got something I can take? He said, well, what are you doing? He said, really the things that I could give you for that to happen. He said, you really don't want them. Which I thought was remarkable. He said, well, what are you doing? I said, I'm a pretty active guy. I get around. I do stuff. I work. And, you know, I do all kinds of stuff. I just am fat. I like to eat, man. I said, I even walk. I walk a lot of places. He goes, well, how fast do you walk? I said, well, I don't get in a big hurry. He said, well, that's part of the problem. He said, because... And this is what impressed me. He said, when God created you, He created us to walk. And He said, you can just walk and walk and walk and walk and walk. And it really doesn't do you a whole lot of good because you were created to walk. He said, it's only when you really walk and pick up the pace and start covering some ground. I mean, I'm not talking about plodding. I'm talking about getting after it. He said, that begins to bring your heart rate up, and that's when you begin to benefit from walking. So while plodding does have a purpose, there are other benefits from getting a little beyond plodding. And this morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you this. Are you here this morning? And the thought that's maybe running through your mind, it's running through my mind. Do you need to begin to plod your way to this altar? Do you need to answer the call of the Holy Spirit right now that is saying to you, you need to change your life. You need to surrender your life to my life. You need to begin to seek the Lord. Well, I don't even know how to do that. Well, it's not real hard. We just begin to pray. The problem is, God doesn't necessarily hear the prayers of someone that's unsaved. The only prayer that He'll hear from the unsaved is, Lord, save me. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit. Maybe you're here today and that's you. Maybe today you're recognizing that you need to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't know how. Well, I'll help you with that. Starts out by admitting that you need Jesus. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. There's more to believing than just having a head knowledge. The Bible says that we have to confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ died for your sin and mine. 3 days later, He rose from the grave, and today He's seated at the right hand of God, and He's praying for you right now, right this moment. Jesus Christ, the Lord of the universe, is praying for you right now, and He's saying, come on. He's commissioning His Holy Spirit right now to tug on your heartstrings. So let me just ask you, what right now, if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but today you want to, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Are you here? Are you here? You need Jesus? Maybe you're here today and you did. At one point you have accepted the Lord, but man, oh man, life happened and stuff happened and chaos happened in your life and all the mess happened and this and that and the other thing and today you recognize that you're in church and you sense this morning that you need to make a change. I used to walk with the Lord. I used to even make it up to the high places once in a while. But lately it just seems like I'm just in the valley. And I don't know which way to get out. I don't know how to get out of this low life area. I need something new in my life. I get angry at the drop of a hat. I feel confused all the time. I do my own thing all the time. But God, today, I want to make a decision that is going to affect and change the rest of my life. God's calling you out this morning. Will you surrender to Him? Maybe you've accepted the Lord in days or years gone by, but today you say, Pastor, I need to start a brand new relationship with Jesus. I need to recommit my life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that I'll be able to walk and not be weary, that I can run and not faint. Lord, take me to high places in You. If that's you today, you say, Preacher, I need to rededicate my life to Jesus. If you just slip your hand up, I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you right now. Are you here? Anybody at all, say, Preacher, that's me. I want to recommit my life to Jesus. Father God, I've said everything You've asked me to say and then some. And Lord, I just pray right now, God, that Your Holy Spirit, whether they raise their hand or not, I pray that they just pray this simple prayer with me right now. Dear Lord, come into my heart. Forgive me of all sin. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in me, Lord. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and help me by the power of Your Holy Spirit to live for You from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hey, would you just give yourself a big hand clap of praise? Oh, church, God is so good. God is so good.